Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And this week, we're putting a flag in the halfway mark of 2022 with a compilation show and a look back at some of the incredible guests I've chatted to so far this year, because trust me, there's been some absolute standouts. So many, in fact, that we couldn't fit them all into one episode. We talked babies and parenting with Kate Lawler, Laura Tobin, Rachel Paris, and Zoe Hartman. We've got nostalgic for the 90s music scene with Nicky Chapman, Louis Walsh and Hanson, and relived some iconic moments with broadcasting legends like Simon Mayo, Fern Britton, Christopher Biggins and Richard and Judy. Not forgetting, of course, Sally Lindsay's hugely inspiring journey from landlady at the Rovers on Corrie to internationally renowned showrunner, or politician Jess Phillips' shocking revelation that she's a massive fan of both Tipping Point and The Chase. Breaking news, Ben Shepherd's been in touch. You can look forward to seeing Jess on a future episode of Tipping Point. That's what happens when you come on White Wine Question Time. So let's celebrate some of the biggest and best bits so far as we dive in to some truly vintage moments. In April, I sat down with broadcasting legends, true small screen royalty, Richard and Judy. It was such a lovely chat, we didn't want it to end. So much so that, in fact, we turned the show into a two-parter. And even then, we couldn't stop talking. And just as I was about to wrap up the recording, Richard dropped this, one of my all-time favourite George Michael stories.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story about George Michael, who was in this, again, this room that we're sitting in now, our dining room. It was about 3 years before we left this morning and went to Channel 4. And it was about 2 weeks before Christmas. And Judy and I were launching, it was a Monday, we were launching that year's This Morning Christmas Appeal. It was some children's charity booth. And so we had something that you would have done, a VT of some kind, you know.
And the
numbers to ring and the lines to call and, you know, a studio interview, big launch. Okay, that's the Christmas charity. And we came off air at 12:30 and our then editor was waiting for us in the corridor just outside the studio, hopping from one foot to the other with excitement. And she said, guess how much we've raised already for the charity? And we said, how much? She said, almost £100,000, which was unprecedented. And we said, what? She said, because we had one donation of £50,000 from one person. And we said, who from? She said, I can't tell you. I'm sworn to secrecy. So we basically grabbed her by the earlobes and said, who from? Tell us. And she said, well, it's George Michael. Said, George Michael watches the show. None of us knew this. George Michael watches the show all the time. He saw the thing and he's phoned in and he's pledged and it's gone through the bank. It's in the bank now, £50,000. I said, well, we've got to call him and thank him. So they got his number for us. We came home here to our house and that evening at about 6 o'clock, I'm in the other room and Judy's with me and I'm a bit nervous, you know. We've met them all, but bloody hell, it's George Michael. So I dial his number. Yeah. He used to live just around the corner in Highgate, about a mile away from here. So the phone rings, hello, and it's George Michael's voice. You know, my God, I'm talking to George Michael on the phone. So I said, George, it's Richard Madeley. I know you didn't want any of us to know, and we're off. And we have this conversation, and I thank him for that. And we get chatting, and we have a lovely little 5 or 10 minutes chat, and Judy's like earwigging behind me. She wouldn't make the call, because she's too shy. And then I just heard myself saying, I said, you live in Highgate, don't you, just around the corner? He said, yeah. I said, well, we're in Hampstead. I said, I think we should say thank you to, more than just a phone call. Do you think you could come around for, say, Sunday lunch at some time? He said, I can come around this Sunday. And Judy is going, no, this is too much. No, this is too much. And I'm saying, yeah, we can do this Sunday. Okay. And I gave him the address. And 1 o'clock, he said, and can I bring Kenny? And Kenny was his lovely American boyfriend at the time. And I said, yeah, sure, bring Kenny. Right, 1 o'clock Sunday. And I put the phone down and I turned around and Judy was standing on her head. I've never seen my wife do a handstand before, but she was standing on her head with a against the sofa. Just couldn't believe that George fucking Michael was coming to our house for lunch. So flash forward a few days, and I'm in the kitchen because I do the cooking. I'm in the kitchen preparing whatever we were having, beef, I think it was, for Sunday duck. Lunch. Well, it was duck, that's right, it's roast duck. And it's bang on 1 o'clock, the doorbell goes, and I go, you know, wipe my hands on my pinny and go to the door and open it, and there is George, it's like a beetle standing on your doorstep. There's George Michael with his shades and his leathers, and he looked, and his stubble, and he looked great because he was about to go on tour, so he was on a diet and he was looking after himself. This is before he fell into serious drug use, and his very, very gorgeous boyfriend Kenny behind him, and they come in, and it was a little bit, you know, at first, but after a few minutes, we got on, and they were here for hours, weren't they?
7 hours.
7 hours. Mm. I remember George coming into the kitchen just before I served up, in his shades and his leathers. George Michael's in my kitchen. And he said, just want to say, Rich, no. He said, I just want to say, no carbs, if you don't mind, no carbs. And I didn't know I'd never heard that before. I didn't know what he meant. And I said, I don't understand. What? He said, no carbohydrates. He said, I'm going on tour in a couple of weeks and I'm still losing weight. So no potatoes, no parsley, none of that. I'll just have the meat and the gravy and the greens. It's fine. So I gave him a plate with no carbs. And you know what? In 1 minute, he picked up his fork and he was nicking roasters off everybody else's plate. Not even in his plate. But no, he was a lovely man.
Oh, and it
was
lovely.
He was lovely. He used to refer to his singing voice without pomposity as quote my gift, and we knew what he meant because it was a gift. I mean, his voice was extraordinary. And talking about how he had to guard it and look after it and, you know, not smoke and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, we stayed friends for a few years, and then he just got lost in serious drug use and he withdrew from everybody. You couldn't talk to him, you couldn't help him, you couldn't grab him by the elbow and drag him back. He just disappeared into drug abuse, and then of course died. And it was horrible. It was a real waste of a human being and of a musical genius and of a lovely man.
But he was a lovely man. Yeah.
Regardless of whatever his predilections may have been or his substance abuse, he remained the most generous and with the kindest of hearts.
Absolutely.
Can I just tell you both that I knew about George coming to your house for roast duck?
Did you?
Because he told me.
Did he?
And can I tell you how he told me?
Go on.
He went, I went to fucking Richard and Judy's house. He was just as starstruck as you. You loons.
That is no. So funny. No one's ever told us that before. How funny is that?
In May, I managed to steal the brilliant Labour MP Jess Phillips away from her frankly ridiculous schedule of meetings to record what quickly became one of my favourite episodes ever. Jess is a rarity, a straight-talking politician. So, of course, she didn't mince her words, and I didn't want her to, especially when it came to talking about Boris, the government, and what it's like to be a woman in politics in this day and age. And in the middle of it all, she gave us this little gem of an anecdote too, an insight into what happens when you get your call returned by the Prime Minister.
I'd like to think that if I was the Prime Minister, I used to bemoan Theresa May for this all the time, is that, like, she was in a terrible spot where divisions were really rife in Brexit within her own party as well as across Parliament. And I used to just think, pick up the phone and talk to us. Like, never would they, like, in all the time she was trying to get her deal through, she never once spoke to the opposition about what should go in the deal. We could have carried the votes had it been better. But she never once did that. And I used to stand in Parliament and literally just say, those people over there, they're pretending that this is what they're, but they're just trying to get rid of you. They're not honest brokers. Don't listen to those lunatics in your party, Boris Johnson. They're not, they don't have your best interest or the country's best interest at heart. They only have their interest at heart. Give me a call. And then unfortunately, she did actually once give me a call. And I was, when number 10 Downing Street calls you, it says on your phone, even if you haven't saved it on your phone, it says, Downing Street is calling you, 10 Downing Street, like a call from the Prime Minister. It comes through a switchboard.
Does it?
Yeah. It comes through a switchboard. And then they tell you that the Prime Minister wants to talk to you, and then they put you through to the Prime Minister. But when she did call me, I was in a nail salon and she was on loudspeaker. And I just was like, please do not. Don't say any more. You're on loudspeaker. I haven't got any hands. My hands are literally under a UV light. And I was like, I'll call you back.
That's hilarious. So you actually got the Prime Minister on loudspeaker as you're drying your shellacs.
As I'm having my shellac done. yeah, that was orcs.
Are you in for a treat now? Just as 2022 was waking itself up, Tom Kerridge, one of the best chefs out there, agreed to come and talk to me on the show. We have so many things in common. We're both from the same place. We're pretty much the same age. And sadly, that's where the comparisons end, certainly when it comes to my skills in the kitchen. But what we did share was an affection for food of the 70s and 80s, which came with a side serving of, oh my God, are you kidding me, style revelations, courtesy of Tom. Enjoy.
Right, Saturday night tea was always really exciting for me and my brother, and it was always a crusty roll because there were bakers in the centre of Gloucester that would do, it was a treat on a Saturday to go in and get fresh rolls from the bakers rather than just rubbishy sliced white bread. And we get fresh crusty rolls and we'd warm them through on the Saturday night and we'd have corned beef from a tin. And an English mustard on it.
Yeah.
And my brother wouldn't have the English mustard. I think that English mustard was the first point as a young kid, because most kids would have been like, oh my God, what's that big, strong flavour? That was to me that there was something quite adult and something quite grown up about food. And that was probably my first experience of going, all right, food is somewhere where we're heading. And then obviously, I mean, it's Findus crispy pancakes, bird's eye potato waffles, oxtail soup. And you know that tinned ravioli?
Oh, yeah.
With the really overcooked pasta and like mince in it that is, I mean, probably now it turns out it might have been horse, the same as Findus crispy pancake.
No. But one told me that, Tom. Yeah. Serious. Findus I lived on chicken and ham or beef.
Mate, you got Findus crispy pancakes with the beef ones. You got, yeah, there was a whole scandal a few years ago, mate. Turns out most of that was horse meat.
Oh my God, no wonder I do big long wheeze.
Yeah, there you go.
Shit.
There you are, mate. I know. But, I mean, at the time, it's delicious. Why not? I mean,
why not? Yeah. Well, because yeah, exactly. It's a horse, then, but that's why not. But yeah.
Then pot noodles. And then if it's a special treat, right? Maybe if you could afford it, we might have had Viennetta.
Oh yeah,
like it's the dessert of dreams.
Isn't it? I mean, it still is though.
Yeah, it still is. It's still Viennetta is amazing. Now I remember some Walls factory. He was obviously in Gloucester at that time.
Yeah.
So my mate, when he used to work at Walls, so when I left school, there wasn't quite the same health and safety. So when I was like 15, 16, we could go in the factory and go meet Neil. And I remember watching the Viennetta get made, and it was an incredible thing on this great big kind of conveyor belt, like the ice cream gets squirted in and chocolate. And then like, so yeah, so a Viennetta would finish it. So that's childhood food.
That felt so posh and fancy as well, Viennetta, didn't it? It wasn't a scoop of Walls out of the tub. This was something else. It was ice cream you cut. I mean, who knew?
It's amazing.
Up next, you're in for a real treat. A face and voice that's familiar to millions, having played the same character for over 30 years in Albert Square. Yes, it's the man you know as Ian Beale, but I know as Adam Woodyer. And, well, we took a beautiful stroll down memory lane. It's a cracking episode, full of nuggets like this. You're about to hear what happens when two worlds collide. The worlds I'm talking about, Albert Square and the school gates of Grange Hill with one of its most famous ever pupils. Step forward, Lee MacDonald. Yeah, Zamo. Not Christmas just gone, Christmas before. We did, for our Christmas Day show on White One Question Time, we reunited the cast of Grange Hill.
Oh, brilliant.
Which was so lovely. And you must have known some of those guys. I mean, we had Lee MacDonald was on there.
Lee had a birthday party because his birthday's pretty close to mine. And the flat that I had around the corner from the studios in Elstree back in the early 80s. Yeah, we had a joint birthday party till God knows what. Yeah, all I can remember, I was talking about it the other day and it got very, very messy. People throwing up on top of speakers and the police arriving and all sorts. Yeah, but it was
imagine the police walk in, they go, Ian Beale and Zamo, what's going on?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
My next guest, you probably know best for relocating people down under or for her early morning stints at BBC Radio 2. But I knew her back in the 90s when she was one of the best music pluggers and promoters there was in the business. There were very few acts that this woman didn't help to break and shape. But one of them, well, they've gone down in the history books. Here's Nikki Chapman reliving the moment she brought the Spice Girls into my office when I was a rather young 21-year-old editor at Smash Hits. Do you remember bringing the Spice Girls in to see me at Smash Hits? Because I thought that was quite a high-risk move. You didn't have an appointment, as far as I knew. I was in a meeting with my publishers. And then out in the office, I heard this just chaos unfolding around me. And Helen, my PA, put her head around and she went, you better come out and see this. And we all had to just leave our desks and leave this meeting and come out. And we were, it was a shock and awe exercise in girl power. And there was no way you or the Spice Girls were leaving until we committed to support you and cover the act.
It's how I actually first saw the Spice Girls. They came into RCA Records on rollerblades, got on the desk. They did everything that we hear about. And it is absolutely true. And I was like you, my mouth just hit the floor. And the girls were such a power and they had such belief and they were united. This is what they wanted to do and thoroughly convincing. And then they get out the ghetto blaster and they put it on the side and they start singing, you know, along with an a cappella and then to a bit of a backing track. And I was so blown away. And I sort of said to them and to the manager, you know, this is great, but I'm not going to be here because I'm leaving RCA Records. I'm going to go independently. And that's when they said, right, well, we want to be with Nikki. So one of the first acts I took with me was Take That and the Spice Girls and Annie Lennox when I went independent. So they really did help set up my business and the success that we had.
Wow.
So when you take that element, and no one was doing that at the time.
You would just come in and just take over, wouldn't you? But yeah. It's quite risky. It could have backfired. You could have pissed somebody off with it by not sort of giving them, you know, we were in the middle of quite an important meeting.
We did.
Oh, you did.
We did manage to annoy someone. We did EMAP. We did the big breakfast. I can't really repeat what the girls said in today's world to the boys, but it was really fruity. They took no prisoners at all. And then I took them into Radio 1 to see a lovely lady called Susie Aplin. And Susie was looking after TFI at the time. And I took the girls in, and Chris, who we all know, we love Chris Evans, you know, one of the best presenters, broadcasters you're ever going to meet, was in a really bad mood. And he walked past and he said, "Why don't you lot F off back to Live and Kicking where you belong?" And I was like that. And we were in this glass office with this ghetto blaster, the girls giving it all loads as they did. And Jerry literally made a beeline for the door. And I was like, no, not today. No, let's just hang on. He's not in a good mood. I think he'd just been reprimanded by Radio 1. And we just, the timing was awful. But funnily enough, yeah, after that, it was a success, but it took a long time to convince Chris. That's the truth. The first TV show I put them on was Surprise, Surprise, a lovely lady called Isabel Hatton, and she was the producer. And we dragged her into the toilets, into the ladies' loos, and they did their number for her in the loos. And when I say with their number, I'm obviously talking singing and nothing else. Thanks very much. Before anyone
bit of wannabe, yeah.
Yeah. And she put them on Surprise, Surprise, which was the biggest TV show around at the time. So we did a couple of TV shows, but that was the one that sort of set us up. And radio was really, really slow, and we didn't ever do TFI, not until much, much further, you know, later, further down the line. And Chris was at Radio 1, and he didn't play them. He wouldn't play them, and he had the breakfast show. So it took a lot longer to convince him. But then once he was on board, I think he went out with one, and he really has supported them since then. So, but it doesn't, you know, you look back, and it wasn't all, you know, just steamrolling ahead. There were a few battles to be had because people were a bit like, who are these girls? It's a bit annoying. Are they manufactured? And there wasn't, although there was a lot of hype around Spice Girls, it didn't feel overly manufactured because they were such a dominant force, and they took control of every conversation. I went to Japan with them. We hadn't even charted. And we took out Loaded with us. Funnily enough, they were one of the first mags to sort of think, oh, actually. And they tried to take them on, and it was hilarious because the journalists in the end were like, I surrender. They loved the girls, but the girls weren't giving them an inch. And that's what they did because they truly believed in what they stood for. It wasn't a man or a woman behind them going, hey, I've got this great idea. Let's talk about girl power. It came from them. It was transparent. It was authentic, and they believed it. And here we are 20 years down the line and just having celebrate 20 years of Wannabe. And it's more resonant today than it's ever been.
Over 20 years ago, we all pretty much fell under the spell of Kate Lawler. Well, millions of us did anyway, because we voted for her to become the winner of Big Brother. And so much of her charm was her ability to laugh at herself, to tell it like it is, and to feel that she was truly one of us. Well, two decades on, she still has all of that appeal in an abundance, especially when it comes to talking about some of the bigger stuff in life, the important stuff. Here she is opening up about how she and her now husband struggled in the first few months as they came to terms with life as new parents.
It's been, oh my goodness me, since we became parents, our relationship has changed so much, and I want to say for the better, but sadly, we both know, and the thing is we're acutely aware of this, that we haven't prioritised our relationship at all, and we know that we need to take steps to improve it. We're getting married in 2 months, and we've actually had like the hardest year as a couple so far. But it's not like we didn't have a baby and we didn't have this huge life change and we had a bad year. You know, we know that it's because we became parents, and your life changes monumentally when you become parents, especially when you've gone your whole life. Like, I didn't have a baby in my 20s. I waited 40 years. You know, I spent so long just being a dog mum and having the freedom you know, financial freedom and, you know, going on holidays where we could just go to adults only resorts and we loved it. And, you know, just going out.
Yeah, those days are gone, babe.
Whenever, it's devastated. Whenever we wanted and just being free and being just us with the dogs. And so it was just a huge shock because I was confident that I would love every second of being a new mum and that I would, because I had a really good pregnancy and I just felt really ready for it. But the reality was so far from what we see on social media. And and also I wasn't prepared for the seismic shift in our relationship and what it would do to our relationship. I thought it would change my life, me personally, but I didn't think about how much it would affect us as a couple, even though I had friends giving me advice saying, look, we're both going to say things that you don't mean when you in those newborn days. You're both going to be more tired than you've ever been before. Try to draw a line on whatever's happened at the end of each day and start fresh the next day, because you just have to remember why you did this in the first place, right? And we always remind ourselves why we had Nora in the first place, because we love each other. And we look at her now and we're just like, how have we made this perfect little person? Like, she's incredible. And she's enriching our lives in more ways than we've ever thought possible. But we only went out, we went out for a curry the other night because I pointed out that since Noah was born a year ago, we've only been out on our own on a day twice. It's not good enough. Like, twice is, but it's like finding the time to do that, Kate, especially when you start doing work.
And if you've got the time, you go, I don't want to go out tonight. I just want to go and sit in the bath. I just want to read a book. I just, you know, I actually don't want to talk to you. Yeah. You annoy me.
I can't be bothered to put on makeup and find something to wear. I want to go and sit in my pajamas and read. But yeah, exactly that. And so we'd only been out for our anniversary in June, which was March, April, May, June. 4 months after Noah was born, we went out to Galvin La Chapelle. We got all dressed up and went out on a date. We spent most of it looking in on the monitor like, oh, is she okay? His mum was babysitting. And
it's Big Brother part two.
Oh my goodness me, a pair of us. And I was like, oh, let's just enjoy ourselves. But yeah, so it wasn't like, you know, we just haven't spent enough quality time together. And we've had, you know, really deep and meaningful conversations about how I've put my work before him. And he pointed out very recently about, you know, the amount of work I've taken on and how I've just, you know, so the last week has been great because I've finished Virgin. And I said, honestly, when I finish Virgin, when I stop doing the radio, I swear things will be different. And so far, so good. This week has been brilliant. We've been really close. We've like both getting over COVID, so we've been a bit poorly, but we've been really in a good place where we've spoken, we've been present with each other, we're talking, we're communicating, you know, we're just better with each other. And I think that's because I have more time and I'm happier and I'm not worrying about something that I've got to do for work or worrying about something that I've got to do with Noah before I go to work. So yeah,
it's emotional bandwidth, isn't it? You need to take all of those to-do lists and shrink them to put your family first. It's really hard, Kate. I really feel for you. And don't forget, in amongst all of this, we've been living through a pandemic in which you've had a baby. You've just come through COVID. You've had horrible experiences of postnatal depression, which should never be underestimated. You've gone back to work. You've written a book. You'd only just finished up doing your house up. Look who's stalking, Kate. Yes, I follow you on Instagram.
I know.
But it's a lot. It's a lot, darling. You've put a lot on your very tiny shoulders and there are always going to be cracks at the end of that. So be kind to yourself.
Thank you. That means a lot, Kate. I think, do you know what we did? It was Bodgy's suggestion that we start couples therapy. And I can't recommend it enough because it's really helped us. Mm. You know, she's given us tools that we've applied when it comes to like that feeling like when an argument is brewing and you know that you're going to go down a road which is going to lead to anger and shouting. So we're really, really working on our relationship thanks to this lovely lady called Diana. But also the therapy, as she pointed out, that we've both gone through so much in the past. You're not just having a kid. We moved house, we renovated straight away. And as soon as that was done, we had Noah. Then obviously the postnatal hit. Bodge was setting up his own company, which is a big thing as well. Oh, you know, he's now running his own company. Huge. He quit his job, or he got made redundant and then set up his own company. So that was a big thing.
Oh my God, you've had so much going on.
And then I went back to work and wrote the book. So it's all just come to a head recently.
I just want to give you a hug because you're trying to be everything to everyone and then there's nothing left for you.
But we all do, don't we? We do. And I think that there needs to be these conversations about how much having a child can impact your relationship. And I felt really bad saying this to Bodge because I think he knew that I was going to say it. But I part of the reason why I didn't want a kid was because I was so scared of what it would do to our relationship and how damaged we would be as a result of having a child and not having time for us anymore. That I feel like he knew that I would, you know, when the arguments were brewing over the last year, and I'd say, this is why I knew we shouldn't have had, and I hate myself for saying that, because it's horrible for him to hear it, for me saying, like, I knew that it would do this to us. I knew that it would break us. I knew that we would end up, like, resenting each other and falling out and becoming, like, distant and, you know, being in, like, the worst place possible for a couple who are about to get married. But we're, like, coming out of the other side. We know what we need to do. And we're trying to, like, make sure that at the bottom of this, that us going into our marriage, we want to start on the right foot, which is why we just had decided therapy would be the best route for us, and we would just focus on spending more time together as a family and less time on our phones and less time working in the evenings when we're supposed to be having, like, that quality time together.
I'm signing off this episode with a guest that I was so thrilled to have on the show. She does very few interviews and is a small screen legend. Yeah, Fern Britton came on the show. We talked about everything under the sun over a good couple of bottles of wine. And when it came to swapping war stories about juggling parenting and returning to work, well, there was no competition. Fern wins this one, hands down.
So this is my best working mum story.
Okay.
There's a very rude, the rudest word you can think of in this. Would you like me to, am I allowed to say it?
You can say it and we'll treat it accordingly.
Perfect. Okay, perfect. Thank you. The boys were about 7 at primary school. And as all children do, as we know, they don't tell you that there's an important day at school the next day until about 9 o'clock the night before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they'd been bathed and scrubbed and in their gym jams, and they were in bed, and then suddenly they went, oh, Mama. Yes. Mum, tomorrow is evacuees day. 9 o'clock the night before school, they say to me, oh, they come back downstairs, you know, just as you're opening glass of wine. And also, I'm working the next morning on this morning and I have to get up at 5. So this is like a quick glass of wine into bed myself. Come downstairs. Mom, yes, it's evacuees day at school tomorrow. Oh, okay, what does that mean? Well, we've got to dress in evacuee clothes and have an evacuees lunchbox. And so I'm already, like, meltdown, but keeping it in. Yeah. My mum's there, and my mum says to me, well, you're going to have to wrap the sandwiches in greaseproof paper, and it can't be sliced bread. You've got to have bread that... Well, I haven't got any bread that's... Oh, well, do what you can. So I'm trying to make up this little lunch with greaseproof paper. I did have some of that. And then, of course, I put in an orange. No, we didn't see oranges till 1950, you know. Oh, God. So take the orange out. So no crisps then, Mum. No crisps. Okay.
No.
They'll need a gas mask box around their neck. Just make a little box and put some string around it. And put it around. Mother, I have to do two because there's two of them, two of everything. And it's now 9:30 and I'm going to be up at 5 and the car comes at 6. So I really have got to... Anyway. Went upstairs and found, thank goodness, they had a granny who knitted beautifully. So hand-knitted granny jumpers. They're shorts, grey shorts. They'd sort of grown out of by then, but hey-ho. And everything. So I got into bed going, it's done. Got up the next morning. They're still asleep. I had a fantastic nanny called Super Sue. And Super Sue arrives at just before 6. And I'm saying, bye-bye, Sue. It's evacuees day. Don't worry. Everything's done. Lunch boxes in the fridge. The everything's there. Sure. Okay, that's fine. Bye. And I picked up Winifred, who I was taking to work with me every day. So they've got little Winnie. I've already bathed, changed, fed her. Not bathed, but, you know, changed her, cleaned her, fed her. Get her in the car in her little seat. And she nods off for a bit. And then I'm reading the papers and reading the script and writing up my interviews. And reading all the research notes, you know. So that takes 1.5 hours. And so it was about a 2-hour journey to get in for me, to get in to work. Get into work. get Winnie out, get into the dressing room, feed Winnie again, do all the professional stuff. And the producer says to us, now then, we've got an actress from the Vagina Monologues coming in. She does the soliloquy called Reclaiming the C Word. Can I say it? It's rude. It's called Reclaiming Cunt. And
yes, which is a poem, or still, as you say, it's the soliloquy that starts the show, right?
And it's all about women taking that word back to us, for us. It's not just saying somebody's horrible. It's actually, it's us. She must not say that word. Don't let her say that word. She'll be absolutely briefed, says the producer, not to say that word. Okay, all right, fine. So let me move on. A couple more items. Another item. Oh, and we have a pair of people in who design fantastic vibrators, but we're not allowed to say vibrator or clitoral stimulation. We can only say they're sex toys. And that's it. Finally, get into the studio. Off we go. Actress comes in and immediately says, yeah, I do Reclaiming Cunt. And the paper the next day said, the presenters appeared not to notice. It was John and I, and we just were like, Then along comes Sex Toys, who immediately starts talking about how it works on your clitoris, immediately. So, okay, oh. And then I realised, as I was ready to leave the studio, oh, shit, I'm going to do the Daily Mail handover at National Health Service, Pride of the National Health Service Award that the Daily Mail run. And I've got to get to a hotel in Kensington, and I've got Winnie, and oh, so lovely driver I have with me for my entire 10 years, Tony, he took me to the hotel. I get out with, like, I'm late already, 15, 20 minutes late. I have the baby under my arm. I run in, say to the receptionist, I've come for that. Yes, yes, up the stairs, second on the right, down the long corridor, through the door. Thank you, thank you. Up the stairs, open the doors to find the entire room sitting there, turning around and looking at me. A man on the stage saying, and here she is now, Fern Britton. lovely Lynn Folds Wood was sitting there, and she said, give me the baby, give me the baby. So I gave her the baby, and then I went up, no time to do anything, went up, and they went, hello, how lovely to see you, and please, Fern, it's all yours, there's the microphone. I'm going, oh, I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't read the piece of paper. Oh, no, I hadn't even got a piece of paper at that stage. So I went, blagging, thinking I'll remember something in a minute. No, nothing. And then I said to the man, I'm so sorry, I have forgotten the piece of paper. So he gave me the piece of paper, and I went, oh, no, I can't read it because I haven't got my glasses on. And I was sweating. And all these National Health Service heroes sitting there waiting to receive an award. And then finally, I got the thing. The man had to whisper it to me. It's da-da-da, and she's winning it for blah, blah, blah. Okay. Finally, I said it. This lady came up, desperately overcompensating. Oh, you're wonderful. Congratulations. Thank you so much. Photo. Oh, thank you. I felt like an absolute toad. Finally got off the stage. Linda Lee Potter stops me. Remember, the columnist from the Daily Mail? Quite scary. I'd often written, snipily about me. And she said, come here and sit next to me. Suddenly I was on this lunch table sitting next to Linda, who was actually very sweet in real life. And the Lynn Folswood delivered me Winnie. So I'm going, just sweating. Anyway, I managed to blag it. I said, I'm so sorry, I can't stay for lunch. I really have to go. Phew. Got out of the room with Winnie. Went down the stairs. Oh, there was Tony outside with the car. He jumped out of the car. He helped me into the car with Winnie. We got her in her car seat. And I sat down and thought, oh, that was a nightmare. But I think I've got away with it. And then my phone rang. And it was Super Sue, the nanny. So I went, hi, Sue, you're right. She said, yeah, you do know it wasn't evacuee day today, do you? I took the children to school. They looked like bloody idiots. I had to take them home again and get them changed. I just thought, I mean, that's grim, isn't it? I was just, excuse me, but I was a fucking idiot the whole day. And it wasn't my fault necessarily, apart from the fact I couldn't read and I hadn't got the right piece of paper. But you just, oh.
So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for taking a short stroll down memory lane as we revisited some of the brilliant guests that we've had on the show across the first half of 2022. And don't forget, there's tons of other brilliant chats in our back catalogue with the likes of Carol McGiffin, who was on earlier this year, Simon Mayo, Louis Walsh, Hanson, Sally Lindsay, Biggins. His stories, as you would imagine, are phenomenal. As always, a huge thanks to Ben Robbins and the Yahoo Studios team who produced the show with me. Our music, as always, comes courtesy of Andy Bell, who's just fresh off stage at Glastonbury with his latest material. You can find that wherever you get your music. I'll see you next week. Until then, thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.